Well, there's a couple in our church that had some visitors come to their house at a time. They were Mormons, and the elders showed up at their home, and the person that from our church did understand a lot of the things we're already talking about, and so they began to raise these concerns about the differences of Mormonism from the Bible. But the answer from these elders were, number one, we don't believe some of that. We have never even heard of some of that. Some people believe that, we don't. The question is, and a lot of times when you talk to people who are connected with Mormonism, they will say, I've never heard that. I've never heard that Joseph Smith taught that, or I never have seen that, or we don't believe that. Well, some people do believe that. The problem is that there are people connected in some of these groups that do not know what they actually believe. And so I think it's very important that as you teach them and show them what it is. As we continue this morning, we're looking at Mormonism. We're dealing with the big three areas. What do they say about the Bible, Jesus Christ, and salvation? Quick review, and just I'm going to go through this very, very quickly. It's not, you already know, what is a cult? We've talked about that. It's a cult that's usually centered around a person or a teaching of a person that's contrary to the Bible. Why should we study the cults? It's so that we can know and understand where they're coming from, that we can be ready and all those things. The third thing, we looked at marks of a cult, and we went through all of those things. They have... There's the three big ones that stand out is they usually have, almost always have, extra-biblical revelation, something different than the Bible. They have a defective Christology. They do not realize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior. They look at Him in a different way. And they always have something other than faith alone and Christ alone. They always have salvation by works. The last thing we looked at, number four, was why do people get involved? And we said sometimes people just need a group that they want to be involved with. Sometimes people want to feel like they belong. It's security. Sometimes they're just misled. They don't even understand it. What we said is when we look at Mormons, there are three things that we're doing. When we look at any of the cults, if you go to the next one, we're getting the background of the cult. We're then looking at their teachings on dealing. What do they say about the Bible, Christ, and salvation? There are a lot of other things, but we want you to look at the big three, because if you have an understanding, first of all, if you have an understanding of what you believe about the Bible and about Jesus Christ and about salvation, if you are grounded in the truths of God's Word in those areas, then when time comes and you hear somebody from some other group, you'll understand what they believe about Jesus Christ, the Bible, and salvation. That will really help you. That's why those are the big three. And then we'll end with how do we deal with people like this? Well, you remember, I gave a little review last week, and we'll just touch on this. Joseph Smith was a man that got a message. He is the founder of Mormonism. Connected with him is a guy by the name of Brigham Young. And BYU University, Brigham Young University, is connected to that. Joseph Smith said that God the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, appeared to him in bodily form. They floated in the air, and they told him that no denomination, no teaching was correct, and that they were going to use him to give a new teaching that was really right because everything else had been wrong. He was told that he would be taught the everlasting gospel. It was a new gospel. He was told that all throughout the history of the church, they've all been wrong, and he's going to start it. This is from Joseph Smith. I read it to you from, and this is from their own booklet. This is put out by the Mormons, the Prophet Joseph Smith's testimony. I read to you what he said. There's a few pictures in here. There's some things. But anyway, this is the teachings of Joseph Smith. I'm not just making that up. This is from their own literature that we have that information. An angel appeared to him later by the name of Moroni, who was supposed to be a descendant of another angel by the name of Mormon. That's why they call the book Mormon. Now, we know from the scripture that angels don't reproduce. So who is this Moroni? We don't know who he is. We don't know who Mormon is. We also understand from Galatians chapter 1 that Paul said that if I are an angel out of heaven give you a gospel contrary than what you have already received, let that person be accursed. So what you have is an angel out of heaven coming to Joseph Smith to give him a message that is different than the message that's already been proclaimed. That should have been a clue there. The angel told Joseph Smith that he would find in a certain place these two golden plates that had Egyptian hieroglyphics on them. He would also be able to find some special glasses that he could put on, and when he could put on the glasses, he would be able to interpret the hieroglyphics, and he would write then this thing, and which ended up being the Book of Mormon. We know that Joseph Smith went down into Missouri, had polygamy. There were a lot of people opposed to what they were doing. He actually got killed in Missouri. He got put in jail, and then a mob attacked the jail and killed him. And so Brigham Young then took the rest of the group Some split there. Some stayed in Missouri. Most left and went with Brigham Young, went out to Salt Lake. And that's where the Great Salt Lake and Salt Lake City, Utah, and Brigham Young University and all of that comes from this group. There are a lot of different teachings. We talked about that they use the Bible. They would say, we use the King James Bible. But they would always say, we use the King James Bible as it is properly interpreted. They have a book called Doctrine and Covenants, which is Joseph Smith's theology. They have a book called The Pearl of Great Price, which gives the background and history of how he found the plates. It has the history of Joseph Smith and the Articles of Faith. And there's the Book of Mormon, which gives the history of an ancient civilization. Their teaching is that when Jesus died on the cross and went into the heart of the earth, he didn't really go to the heart of the earth. He went to America. He went to a people group in America, which is the people that were here. And that's where he gave them the true message, which got lost somehow. And so God gave to a 14-year-old boy in the 1830s the message that had been lost all the way back from the time of Paul, never been correct. And so in the 1830s, Joseph Smith, 14-year-old boy, gets the proper message that had been hidden all of this time. And so that's the bottom line. We said that there are a lot of things in the Book of Mormon. I think we've got this. Let's put it up and see if we've got whatever's next there. Some of their different teachings. They teach that God has a body, that he's flesh and blood. Joseph Smith said, I know that he has flesh and blood because I saw him and he had a body. So that's how I know he's a body. The second thing, this is some of the things we went over last week. Second thing is that both God and Jesus were men who achieved Godhead. Because what a God is, technically, is a spirit being that had been floating around, somehow got a human body, and then progressed from the human body to become a man, and then later achieve Godhead. That's what gods are. Any human being, that there are spirit beings floating around everywhere. The more people you have as children, the more children you have, you're bringing these spirit beings into human bodies. The human bodies progress, and if they live good lives, they live right lives, ultimately they'll become deity. They'll become God. The third thing is that God the Father had eternal wives. Because see, God the Father had to have eternal wives in order to produce like Jesus and Lucifer and some of these others. Because I don't know if the next teaching says it, but Lucifer was originally the spirit brother of Christ. And so that's part of their teaching as well. That's from the gospel through the ages. That was one of the things. Here's one that I thought was unique, is that all people have always existed and were never created. That there's just an essence of a being, of a person, that in a sense without a body is existing. And what has to happen is they have to have a body. They have to come into a human body, grow up to be a person, and then eventually become a god. So that's the plan. Number six is that man has the potential of becoming God just as Christ did. That's the teachings, that man has the potential to become Christ. That's from Doctrine and Covenants and Journal of Discourses. That's the different books that they wrote. And then here's one that is very, very unique. A baptized Mormon has his Gentile blood purged and replaced by the blood of Abraham. That's the teaching in Journal of Discourses. And so if you said that to a Mormon, most Mormons would say, I've never heard that. That's the teachings in their literature. And the literature of Joseph Smith and Brigham Young and the books Pearl of Great Price, Doctrine and Covenants, Book of Mormon, Journal of Discourses, those books are on par, equal with the King James Bible as properly interpreted. So you've got to understand that the writings of Joseph Smith, they can't say that's just the writings of somebody. No, that's their prophet, which was inspired by God in their mind. And whatever Joseph Smith said is the same as if the King James Bible said it. So that's why some of these teachings. Now, this is a quote by Joseph Smith. I just want to read this to you. It says, I told the brethren that the Book of Mormon was the most correct of any book on earth and the keystone of our religion, and a man could get nearer to God by abiding in its precepts than any other book. So that's the writings of Joseph Smith. He says the Book of Mormon is better than any other book on the earth. It's the key of our religion, and this is the way that a man can get closer to God than any other book that was ever written. So that's the Book of Mormon, and then there's the other writings of Joseph Smith and Brigham Young. So that's what they say about the Bible. Well, they've got all kind of different teachings that are contrary to the Scripture. There's a lot of things there. Now, here's the second thing, and we just got into this last week, so I want to roll through this because of time. The second thing is, what about Christ? What do the Mormons say about Jesus Christ? And you can't really say Jesus. You have to say, let's clarify who we're talking about. They believe in Jesus, but a different Jesus. Let me give you a couple of things. They believe Jesus is God. Yet, at the same time, all people are God. They believe that. So they'd say, yes, Jesus is God, but all people are God. They say that Jesus was a man who became God. Okay? Let me do this. Hold them there for just a second. The first one, I'm going to have to answer them as we go through it. They said that Jesus Christ is God, but all people are God. Well, the truth is this. Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, and we are not God. We are created by God. So people, not all people are God, just Jesus, okay? Second one is Jesus was a man who became God. No, Jesus is God who became a man. Jesus is the eternal God who left the glories of heaven and became a human being for us. We call that the hypostatic union, the God, the deity and the humanity. They're saying that Jesus was this man who became a God. Because, see, that's the plan for everybody. The plan for everybody is you become a God. Or at least for every man. Let me put it that way a little clearer. Here's the third thing, is that Jesus was born in Jerusalem. They teach that Jesus was born in Jerusalem. Where was Jesus born? Bethlehem, Micah chapter 5, Luke chapter 2. So the Jesus of the Mormons is a different Jesus. Okay, you grasp that. Our Jesus wasn't born in Jerusalem. Our Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Okay, the next one is that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary and Adam God. That's the teachings of Joseph Smith and Brigham Young. Now, they would say that Adam, who is the same of the famous Adam and Eve, Adam did so good that he became God. And he came down and had sexual relations with Mary to produce Jesus with the plan that Jesus would grow up and become God. Now, they would believe that Jesus was born of Virgin Mary and Adam God. We'd say, no, Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, not Adam God. There's a big difference. And when you know just the subtle things that you know, that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, not Jerusalem, that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary and the Holy Spirit, not Adam God, tell that to them. If they're talking to you, say, you have a different Jesus. They say, no, we don't. Yes, you do. Where was your Jesus born? You know what they say? They'll sometimes say Bethlehem. Said, that's not what Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith said Jerusalem. Now, which one's right? If Bethlehem is right, then your prophet Joseph Smith is wrong. If your prophet Joseph Smith is wrong, then he's not a prophet of God. And if you say my prophet Joseph Smith is right, then you're going to have to say he was born in Jerusalem. You got a different Jesus. They're wrong, but either way they go. Either way they go. He was not born of Virgin Mary and Adam God. He was born of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. Here's one that's amazing, that Jesus and Lucifer are spirit brothers. They're spirit brothers. That God the Father has eternal wives who produced things, and that somehow Jesus and Lucifer go back to the fact that they're spirit brothers because they were these spirit beings floating around from all eternity. And one more, Jesus was married to Mary and to Martha and Mary Magdalene, three wives, and produced many offspring. Because Jesus did what he's supposed to do, he produced many offspring, because the more children you have, what do you have? More opportunities for people to become God. So that's, well, we'd believe that Jesus was not married, never married. The Mormons believe that man exists eternally as a spirit being. And that Adam had become a God. And by the way, Adam had another name. It was called Michael. Jesus Christ progressed to be the Godhead, spirit brother with Lucifer, three wives. So when we deal with the Mormons, begin by showing that the Jesus they're talking about is not the same Jesus you find in the Scripture. And if they say to you, well, I don't know that, I don't believe that, I say, what you need to do, then before you come tell me about Mormonism, you go back and study your own stuff so that you know what you're talking about when you come to me. Because if you say to me, I never heard that Jesus was born in Jerusalem, you go back and study your own stuff and find where he was born in your teaching so that you can come back and tell me the truth of what you believe. Because that's the problem. A lot of them don't even know what they believe. Now, the sad thing is a lot of Christians don't know what they believe. And so that's why you have to be grounded. You have to know what you believe and why. You have to be ready to go to the Scripture to be able to say, I believe Jesus is God. I believe the Bible is God's Word. I believe salvation is by grace through faith. I mean, the big three. You need to be able to go and say, what do you think about the Scripture? And go to the Bible to talk about it. What do you say about Jesus? Go to the Bible to be able to say, here's what I believe about Jesus. When you talk about salvation, you need to be able to go to the Bible and say, here's what the Bible says about salvation. So it's pretty powerful. Jesus is not a man who became God who did good works to earn his position. He is the eternal Son of God who became man to die on the cross, pay for sin, and give us eternal life. It's a huge difference. Now, if you listen to the television ads and talk to the people, it seems to be that they want to be just like us. They do. They want you to think we're all the same. In fact, they want you to think that they're like a little, another denomination of Christianity. They're not. The third thing is salvation. And I don't know. Let me see. We won't get through necessarily today, but we'll finish it next week. But let's think about salvation. And here's really the issue. How does one get saved? I mean, when you think about it, we said this. What do they say about the Bible? What do they say about Jesus Christ? And what do they say about salvation? That's the big three. When we talk about the Bible, they don't have just the Bible. They don't just have King James Bible as properly interpreted. They have all these other writings that actually contradict the Bible. When we say, what did they say about Jesus? It's a totally different Jesus. And so third and finally, what do they say about salvation? What must a person do to be saved? Have you ever talked to them? I've had them come to my house. I've had them when I was coaching at Mississippi State. I had a lot of talk with them because they were dealing with some of our football players. And so when we found that out, I was coaching then. I called them. I said, you're talking to some of my guys. I'm going to talk to you. I don't want you talking to my guys. And so we met and talked about salvation and everything. You could bet at that time I was really reading everything I could find. I was getting ready. Because that's the first time I had to really deal with it. And that's one of the things about it is when you have to deal with it, you know, this is all sort of like, yeah. And then all of a sudden you look out and they're coming to your door. And you're going, where are those notes? What did we do with that stuff? Where are those papers? What did we put down? I need to remember this stuff. I remember one time that I was living in an apartment complex and I had a girl who was a friend that was about three sections down, you know, different sections in an apartment complex. And she was my friend and some people had come to her door and she sent them to me. And she called me, and let me tell you what she did, though, see. She called me, and she said, I sent two Mormons down there. And I went, thank you very much. And so I went, and I said, okay, Mormons. So I got some stuff out. I went, okay, Mormons, I'm ready. Open the door. There were two Jehovah's Witnesses. I called her back. It was not Mormons. Thank you. At least get the cult right if you're going to have me stand there, you know. So we turn into the third section is what about salvation? You're in Ephesians, right? And I think a verse that, you know, there's all the verses like John 3:16, which is the most famous verse in the Bible. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. But let me tell you why Ephesians 2:8-9 is such a powerful verse. Because it answers all kind of questions about works and faith and everything. Notice, as you look at it, it says, for by grace, getting what you don't deserve, you have been saved from separation through faith. It's by the means of faith. And he goes on to say, and it's not of yourselves. It's not what you do, because there are a lot of people who'll say it's faith in Christ, but you've got to be willing to do this or turn away from this or walk down this or give this. And see, this passage says, no, it's not that. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. And whenever you see the idea of gift, what must you do to get a gift? Nothing. And in fact, if you do anything, it is no longer what? A gift. If you said, I've got this for you now, would you mind doing this and I'll give it to you? That's not a gift. It's just not. And that's why when people say, yes, it's a gift from God, but you've got to be willing to do this, this, and this, that's not a gift. So understand that. That's why I love these passages right here, because it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not yourselves, to get to God, not as a result of what? Works. In this passage, he contrasts faith and works. Sometimes people will come to you and say that faith is a work, that to believe something is to do good works. This passage says it is not. It is by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves, the gift of God. It is not a result of works, lest no one should boast. So when you start thinking about the idea of salvation, be very clear. It is grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's all it is. And, you know, we had the college retreat this weekend, and we talked about a lot about knowing God's will and everything. But we spent time talking about, you know, in small groups and stuff about salvation and things. And, you know, it is amazing how many people, you know, it's just so hard for people to actually say that you're not saved by what you do. You take the gift that God has already done it all. People just don't want to do that. They say that can't be that easy. It can't be right. Isn't there something you've got to do? It cannot be you simply trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. It can't be that easy. Because it seems too easy. Because all of our lives we've heard you don't get something for nothing. And that all of our lives we've heard you have to do good and love God. Do good and love God and then you'll be saved and all of this. And so when you say to people, you're not the Savior. And it's not what you do and it's not what you keep doing. It's not what you've done in the past. It's simply faith in Jesus Christ for eternal life. It sounds too good to be true. Or it just doesn't sound like it's right. But it is. And you stick with it. And don't hesitate. Don't change from that one bit. You stay strong. Well, what do they say? Well, there's a number of things. What do they say? Number one, there's six steps, by the way. Six steps in Mormonism to be saved. The first one is faith in Jesus. They say faith in Jesus. Okay, now I want you to understand that they mean a little bit different about faith. And, of course, we already know that it's not the same Jesus. Okay? But that's the first step. They say you have to believe in Jesus. And if they stop there, you could say, well, that sounds pretty daggum good. The problem is it's the wrong Jesus. But the second thing is that you have to be baptized. You have to be baptized. It's called baptismal regeneration. The whole aspect of baptism is a part that saves you. Now, I want you to understand, there are other groups that hold to baptismal regeneration. There are a number of groups that believe that you have to be baptized to be saved. And if you're not baptized, you're not saved. Okay, but the Mormons, number one, you believe in Jesus, it's faith, but you have to be baptized. And then here's the thing, this is how they put it, obedience to the teachings of the church, whatever those teachings are. If you do not obey the teachings of the church, you're not saved. So it's not just faith in Christ. It's not by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves to get to God. It is of yourself. You have to be baptized. You have to keep the teachings, and you're not saved if you don't obey. And so the idea would be that you can say, I'm saved, but if you're not doing what they think you should be doing, the teachings of the church, then they would say, you're not saved. Number four is you have to do good works. In fact, when the last time I talked to some Mormons and I said, we talked about salvation, and they said, it is both faith and works. I said, so it is both faith and works. She said, yeah. I said, so it's not faith alone in Christ. No, it's faith and works. I said, so you have to believe and do good works. Yes. And I quoted Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourselves to give to God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I said, what do you do with that? They said, well, that's not properly interpreted. Because it's salvation is faith and works. Now, I wanted to say something, that there are many Christians who are so confused that they think it's faith and works at the same time. They'll say you have to believe in Jesus, but you have to do good. If you don't do good works, you're not saved. In fact, some people believe two things. They say if you believe in Jesus, you're saved, but if you don't do good works, you lose your salvation. There's other groups that say you believe in Jesus, you get saved, but if you don't do good works, it just proves you never believed in Jesus. You weren't saved to begin with. So there are a lot of people who hold to this whole thing. So they would say it's good works. They have, and let me come back on the baptism thing for just one second. Baptism is so important that, and we'll talk about it later, and we'll hit it next week because the bell already rang. But if somebody who is not necessarily Mormon dies and you want them to be saved, you can go and be baptized in their place. And it's called baptism for the dead. They go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 29 for that, which it doesn't talk about that. But they're saying that if you wanted to get baptized for some uncle, friend, somebody who's already died, you can be baptized in their place, called baptism for the dead. And after they died, they're in another place, kind of like a holding place, because there's three aspects of eternity. And if you're not a believer, you're in this particular aspect. The word will come to them that somebody has been baptized in their place. Do they want to accept that baptism for them, and then they could be saved? So the Mormons teach that even if a person doesn't believe or anything and dies, you can go get baptized in their place. And if they want to accept that baptism for them, that will have something to do with their salvation. The fifth one is laying on of hands. That has to do with the Holy Spirit. It goes, they get that from the book of Acts and things where somebody laid on hands or something. So they believe that the Holy Spirit comes by the laying on of hands. Now, I want you to understand something. We'll get to it a little bit later. But the Holy Spirit is not God. Not for the Mormons. They don't have the Trinity in the same way. See, we say God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. They say, no, there's the Father, but then there's the Son who's also a God, but not the same. And then the Holy Spirit is not even given to all people, and the Holy Spirit is some kind of spirit thing, but not God. So you just got to understand that they don't see it the way you see it. And so they'll say Holy Spirit, laying on of hands, Holy Spirit, but they don't mean Holy Spirit like you mean Holy Spirit. This is one of the things with the cults. They use the same terminology, but the meanings are different. So you have to make them clarify what they mean. So you might say to them, do you believe that the Holy Spirit is God? And if they're honest with you, they will say, no, he's not God. He's actually kind of a being that's given. Let me see if I can find. I've got a statement somewhere. No, I don't have it right here. You remember, this is the writings from the guy in town on what he believes. I thought I had somewhere where it said that. I'll find it and have it for next week. But the Holy Spirit is not God. The Holy Spirit is just given to certain believers. I don't see it. I hadn't marked it. But the Holy Spirit is given only to certain believers for certain things. The last one is the keeping commandments. Now, once again, you'd say, now, which commandments? Because is this the commandments, which is the teachings of the church, which is obedience, you have to do that? Or what commandments? Is it the commandments from the Bible? And is it the commandments from the King James Bible? And is it the commandments from the Mosaic Law commandments? What commandments is it? And if you start asking them, they're not even sure. They just know you have to live good. You have to keep commandments. You have to obey the teachings of the church. You have to do good works. You have to have hands laid on. You have to be baptized. You have to have faith. All of those fit together. And if you don't do all six of those, then you're not in. You're probably in the terrestrial kingdom. See, there is the celestial kingdom, the terrestrial kingdom, and the telestial kingdom. The telestial kingdom is the one you don't want to be in. That's for people who aren't Mormons. They're just sort of in this place, and they'll never get out of this place unless somebody gets baptized for them, and maybe there's a chance to move up. You know, because you want to move up. You don't want to get down in third section. You want to get in the second section, maybe the first section, in those three levels. We'll see. Okay, that was the second bell. Am I correct? Okay, here's what we'll do. We'll stop there. We'll review a little bit next week about the six things. We'll get into some different teachings, and then we'll put it all together. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the teachings from the Word of God, which are so clear. Lord, may we be grounded in the truth. May we know what we believe and why. May we be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is with us. And Lord, as we deal with people, especially when we're thinking about Mormons who have a totally different Jesus and a different way of salvation and a different Bible and a different everything, Lord, may we show love to them, but at the same time be firm, stand strong on what we believe, and be ready to show them where what they believe doesn't match the Scripture. And Lord, we pray that maybe someday some of them will actually see that what Joseph Smith taught and Brigham Young and the teachings of the Mormon Church doesn't match Scripture and is not true, and that there is a Savior Jesus, and He died and rose again, and He gives eternal life simply as a gift by faith, not by works, not by doing things, but faith alone in Christ alone. Use us, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.